Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
What do domestication, paleontology, and Walt Disney have in common? Well, the relationship between domestication and paleontology seems pretty clear. Paleontologists study the past and the fossil record and evidence of changes that occur among different species, or as new species arise over time, would certainly be in that fossil record. But what about Walt Disney? Where does he fit in? Well, Walt Disney fits in with domestication by way of a paleontologist by the name of Stephen Jay Gould. Years ago, Gould wrote an essay called The Panda's Thumb. And in The Panda's Thumb, he described the evolution of Walt Disney's Mickey Mouse. One of the characteristics of evolution is neoteny, the tendency for domesticated animals to look more physically immature than their wild predecessors. And the same thing happened with Mickey Mouse. When Walt Disney first created Mickey Mouse, his name was Steamboat Willie, and he looked exactly like you would expect a mature mouse dressed in clothes to look. He had much more adult features. His nose was much more pointy. His ears weren't as big, and neither were his eyes. In short, he was a pretty tough-looking little character. But over the years, Disney made Mickey Mouse look increasingly more infantile. Pay no attention to that dog gagging in the background, or this cat that is following me as I make my rounds through the house, who wants me to let him go outside, which I do not want to do. But getting back to Mickey Mouse became increasingly more immature, more infantile in appearance. And so did most of the other Disney characters. Now, Disney was an artist, but he was also a very skilled businessman, and he wanted his work to sell. So how did Disney figure this out? Most likely, he just asked people what they liked, and he saw the trend. He saw the trend toward our preference for more infantile features in animals. What's interesting about this is that while this evolution or revolution was occurring in the world of cartoons, Russian scientists were actually doing experiments to prove that this was how domestication worked. What I like about the panda's thumb and the Russian experiments is it reminds us how we're all in this together and how foolish it is for one field, one professional group, such as scientists, or even one part of science, to think they are the end and be all of information about a particular subject. We need to remember the Disney factor. We need to remember the fiction factor. How much of what we have in our lives today, how much of the technology in our lives today was first described in science fiction? So that's another reason to be more eclectic, to be more engaged in the world, to think about and to appreciate art and science and music and all kinds of animals and all kinds of plants, because the answers are out there and they're coming to us from many, many different directions. And when we look to just one science, or worse, one discipline to give us the answers, it's like wearing blinders inside a box. While that simplifies things, because everybody's on the same page, so to speak, everybody has the same prejudices, more or less, Everybody has the same beliefs. On the other hand, when we ask ourselves, what do botanists say about this animal problem? What do musicians say? What do artists say? What do we see in fiction? What do we see in nonfiction? What do kids say about it? What do old people say about it? What do fish have to teach us about canine and feline behavior or about human behavior? What does theology teach us? What does philosophy teach us? The more input we get, the richer the picture we'll have of what's really going on. When Stephen Jay Gould wrote about Mickey Mouse, he climbed out of the box of paleontology. And in the process of doing that, he expanded his world, his science. And not only that, he expanded ours too.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.